Caroline, Willie, Deep Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. The Predators fall to the Kings last night, 4-2, their final game going into the All-Star weekend. So I know that one's going to sting for over a week now. But we are just over a month away from the NHL trade deadline. And joining us now to break all that down is Elliot Friedman, 32 Thoughts Podcast, and of Sportsnet. Elliot, I know that All-Star Weekend is quickly approaching. Nick told us, he said, Elliot sounds like he is a kid in a candy store in Toronto this weekend for All-Star Weekend. Yeah.
Yes, as long as that candy involves Gobstoppers and what was that, a bazooka gum with the comics in it?
Ooh, yeah.
And like a little bit of chocolate, I'm going to be pretty happy. You know, Caroline, does not take a lot to make me happy. So you give me those three things, I'm in a pretty good spot.
But Elliot, the bazooka gum turns into a rock after a while, man.
You know, why do you have to be so negative, Derek? Like the first few chews are fantastic, and then yes, you can mortally wound someone with it. But those first few chews are great.
Just like the zebra stripe gum, it's good for about 20 seconds.
Yeah, you need to get like six pieces in there, though. That's what you do. You get like big six-piece chaw in there.
Spoken like a true former baseball player.
Oh, yeah.
Just a big wad of something. Elliot Friedman is with us. Elliot, Barry Trotz was on our station yesterday, and one thing that we've said that we adore about Barry Trotz is that he is an open book. He was asked about a potential UC Soros trade. He said, look, I'm going to need a game changer in return, but I'm going to listen to possibilities. Who do you think could potentially be in the UC Soros trade market as we approach the NHL trade deadline?
Well, I think there's it would be have to be like a young, really good player or someone under team control for a long time. That's the other excuse me. I know there were rumors there Quentin Byfield's name was thrown out about a week or two ago by my friend Pierre LeBrun. So that tells you what you need to know. Is there a young forward? Like that is a difference maker. Like, I'm not saying that like Ottawa would do this, but like a Stutzley, like a Josh Norris. Like, I don't think that Ottawa is doing that necessarily. But you're asking me for the kinds of names that would determine it. Those are the kinds of names: Byfield, young players who could be under team control for a long time, and. You know, I think the other thing here, too, is, like, I went back and I listened to this. There is another subtle message that I think Barry Trotz is sending here, too, guys. And that subtle message is they have to extend UC Soros. And I think they know that UC Soros is deserving of every penny that he is going to get. He has earned his next extension. What I'm thinking is, what Nashville is saying is, if it's a price that they think is too rich for their blood, that they will have to consider all options. So I'm looking at this from three points of view. Number one, the Predators want to keep him, which I think is the preferred outcome. Number two, a young player or a very good player with team control is dropped on their laps. Or number three, they look at the extensions and say, this isn't where we're comfortable going. So I think those are the different forces at play here.
Interesting. And very good point there about signing UC Soros. How likely do you think a sign and trade could potentially be once we get there come July when his contract can be extended?
Well, I think that I think it all depends on what the package is, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like Trotz has definitely signified he's willing to listen on things. He's definitely signified he's willing to be creative. So, look, if someone made Nashville an offer, and I'll say this too, like Soros and the Predators, I'm sure Soros isn't crazy about having his name out there, but they have had a historically great relationship. He has been good for the Predators, and the Predators have been good for him. And I think, Carolyn, in those situations, if it gets to a point where you either get a trade you like or you don't feel you can keep them, then you play ball with that player. You say, you know what, you see, you've been really good for us, and this other team wants you, and if it's a sign and trade so that player can get the eighth year, I think in this, from what I know about this situation, if it was to come to that, teams are generally happy to do it.
Now, Elliot, is there a center out there that could possibly be moved? Because obviously that's what the Predators would be looking for. And I'm not talking obviously about a McKinnon or McDavid.
I understand.
Matthews, one of those guys. But is there another tier of centers that could be possibly moved and honestly moved to Nashville?
Well, I think center is one of the toughest positions. Like, you know, to be honest, there's going to be a bunch of centers that could potentially be on the market this year. Like, you guys last year got a great one in Ryan O'Reilly. He's a hell of a player, and he does a lot of great things around a team. And if you want to follow that route next year or this summer, Derek, there's going to be the opportunity to do that without a trade. There's going to be guys like Adam Henrique. There's going to be guys like Elias Lindholm, who was just traded yesterday. I don't know that Sean Monahan is a guy who makes sense for you. But, you know, and, you know, to be honest, there's going to be guys like if San Jose and Thomas Hertl want a change of scenery, he's a guy, and I think it's too soon to say, but he's a guy who, you know, could potentially be available. But, you know, Derek, as you know, teams don't trade good players unless there's a reason. Something has happened between a team and a player and the relationship has gone sideways or something has to happen. There aren't a lot of those guys out there. Like, teams who have good young centers, they want to keep those players. Now, you know, the one guy that I think is going to be interesting, and if it gets to the summer and he's not signed yet and he has one more year to unrestricted free agency, is Pettersson from Vancouver. But, like, they have a franchise goalie in Demko. So, like, could I see Nashville being interested in a player like him if he gets to the market? For sure. I think everybody would. But I don't know if a goalie trade makes sense for the Canucks.
And now the Predators, they let go of one the other night, well, last night.
Yeah.
Didn't look good last night.
Nope.
They haven't looked good in the last four or five games. They went on a stretch where they were on a heater, and we talked about this earlier, Elliot.
Yeah.
What do you think is the problem right now? Do you think it's just this team has been traveling so much that it finally caught up with them?
No, you know what? I honestly, Derek, I just think, and I know you're looking for, like, really insightful answers from me, but I've been saying the same thing about Nashville all year, and that is that they're a team that is still finding its way. You know, you guys had a great team there for a long time. You got within two wins of a Stanley Cup. You held on for as long as you possibly could, and then you finally reached a point where you said, okay, it's time to try something new. And for all intents and purposes, that was last year. So, like, I think you guys are still in the midst of, you know, finding out who you are and finding out who you can count on. Like, because I come on here, I watch the Predators pretty closely. You know, I see the discourse about players like Tomasino. You know, obviously, you know, I really like Cody Glass as a person. I've watched his struggles this year, which I think are really unfortunate. But I think, you guys have veterans. You know what Josi can do. You know what Saros can do. You know what Forsberg can do. You know what Ryan O'Reilly can do, even though he's new to you. What you're still trying to figure out is, who's Tomasino? Who's Parsonen? I know he went, I know he's really struggled and got sent down, but who's Parsonen? Who's Evangelista? Although he looks really good. Like, you guys are even Tommy Novak, like, who's Tommy Novak? Like, I think you're still figuring that out, Derek. And I think when you've got that, like, sometimes those kids look really good and sometimes they haven't looked really good. And sometimes that part of your roster can take a game or two with you. And, you know, hockey's a 20, and when the game starts, it's a 20-person game. If you don't have 18+2, it's very hard to win. And I think when you've got young players who are still figuring out who they are and still understanding what it takes to be successful, like, this Nashville season has almost played out entirely as I thought it would. It's been a bit more roller coastery than I thought it would be, but I thought it would be inconsistent. And that's, you're inconsistent because guys are still learning what it takes to be successful. And I know not everybody likes to hear that, but I think if you expected, I actually think you guys have been better than I thought, which is a credit to the organization. But I think if you were expecting anything more than that, probably being unrealistic.
That's essentially what Andrew Burnett said after the game last night, which was very frustrating. But he said, if you'd have told me after 51 games this would be our record, he would have said, okay, not too far from, you know, I can work with this. It's still in the mm-hmm. race for sure. So let's talk a couple of things, Elliot, that will maybe affect the Predators. You mentioned Elias Lindholm that just got traded. That's a huge trade. Yeah. And the Flames almost look like they're making the play that the Predators decided to make last year, and that is, let's jump in early. Let's take advantage of the market. So tell me what you think they got in return for trading such a good player in Lindholm.
Well, they got a lot of they got a lot of possibilities, which I think is which is key. You know, the guy who is the X factor of this deal, and I'm going to butcher his name, so I'm not even going to try it.
Jeff I saw Merrick, it. I'm glad you're going to try it, because I won't even try it.
I know. Jeff Merrick told me how to pronounce it, and I've already forgotten. I was joking. It's like Hunter, and it's a long name. I'm not even going to try it. He plays for Kitchener of the Ontario Hockey League. So this is a young man who is I think, either leading the Ontario Hockey League in scoring or right up there as a defenseman. And, you know, he got drafted last year, and he's a real talent. Like, I'm just going to move away from the speaker. He's a really talented kid, and he's the guy in this deal. Like, Vancouver has to make this deal. They're trying to win the Stanley Cup, but he's the one guy in the deal that Vancouver trades that they know that's the one they could look back and say, boy, that was the one that really hurt us in this deal. They get a first round pick. It's probably a late first rounder. The guys in our place who know the prospects say there's a drop in the draft around 20. Like, so if you're Vancouver and say you're picking 28th, you're taking the risk of giving up that pick. You know, Calgary will take another first round pick. They've got to build up their prospect base. But that kid, the one for the defenseman from Kitchener, he's the one here that people are going to be watching, because he's the one here who probably determines the outcome of this trade for the Flames.
And so we'll see if the Flames can stay in the race doing this, or do you think there's a couple more trades that they will keep maybe weakening their roster in terms of veteran players?
I think they're going to still continue to tweak. I think that, well, Noah Hanifin has to make a decision. They've got an offer on the table. Earlier in the year, I thought he was going to take it. He waffled. They lost a few games. He wasn't sure. I think they've gone back and forth. They need him to make a decision. And I think that soft deadline, I guess I'd call it, Willie, is coming soon. So he has to make a decision. Chris Tanev, I think he's going to be dealt. I think there's a ton of interest in Tanev. And, you know, I think he's going to get dealt. And the goalie Markstrom, you know, he has a no-move clause, and he's one of those guys, he does not like his name being out there. And, you know, some players can handle it. Some players don't like it. He doesn't like it, and I think Calgary is very sensitive to that, and I think that they will I think what they will do is they will only go to him if they get a great offer. And they haven't gotten that yet, so we'll let that one play out a little further.
That we had a goaltender interference last night, and it's interesting because earlier in the week on your podcast, you and Jeff Merrick debated a controversial one. It was involving two Canadian teams, but it was a big-time game. Two really good teams, Maple Leafs and Jets, and they weren't the same play. No two are the same, but they had one thing in common in my mind, and that is the question of when there's contact with the goalie, regardless of how it happens, when does the play reset for the purposes of the review? No question, Cody Glass last night, he got his stick in the glove of David Rittich, and that's what they saw. But I think you could argue that he was clear as Tyson Barrie is about to turn, pivot to the net, and make the shot. So I've never really gotten clarity from the league. I know you always are asking questions about this. it's never going to be perfect. But what do you think of the question of when does the play reset?
I think it's a very fair question, Willie, and I don't have a specific answer for you. To be honest, I wish the NHL would take some time and put out a new updated goaltender interference video. I really wish they do. Like, every time a player is suspended, they put out a video. And I don't think you need to put out a video after every call, but I think it would help if they did, like, a primer on it. Like, that one in Toronto, Winnipeg, and one guy said to me, he said, oh, my God, this is our worst nightmare. It happens on a nationally televised Canadian game because all you guys start whining about it. And I kind of laughed. But it is true. Like, that was, to me, that was a really confusing call. Like I had, Willie, I'll tell you this. I have a rule, and I've learned it. There's a guy named Sean McIndoe. His name is Down Goes Brown on Twitter.
Right.
And he did a big piece a few years ago on understanding goalie interference. And it was a really well-done piece. And the one thing that he said in there that I completely agree with is, if you go into the crease and there's contact, you're basically screwed as a player. Like, he said, like, 99%, it's true, and I do agree with this. If you go into the crease and you cause a problem, even if it's a reset, you should expect to lose the challenge. You should expect to lose the goal. And I generally agree with that. That's my kind of guiding principle. But after that, I admit there are gray areas I don't understand, and I wish they would do a video.
Before we let you go, I know you're in your hometown. The All-Star Game the last several years, in my memory, has been in a much warmer climate of Vegas and Florida. And they've had this stuff with the skill competition. They've gone kind of outside the box. I see why they've done it. But it sounds to me like in your discussions, the players kind of went to the league and said, okay, let's get back to having some real showcase of skills. Let's put some money on the line. So tell people what they're going to see when they tune into All-Star Weekend.
Well, there's no question after last year in Florida, people were really unhappy with the skills event. It just didn't do very well. And I think, yes, that they went to some players, and the players, especially Connor McDavid, were receptive about how can we make it better. And how can we make it so that it's a better show for the league? Because I'm one of those people, I believe the skills competition is actually better than the All-Star game. I feel that way about the NBA. I feel that way Major League Baseball is a little different. I feel that way about the NBA. I feel that way about the NHL. And I watch this Pro Bowl stuff now, and I really love the skills stuff. I think fans really love that stuff. And so what they've done is there'll be 12 players competing in a bunch of events like hardest shot, accuracy shooting, fastest skater, and the players won't be doing all of them. Some will be doing some of them, and some will be doing other events, and the winner gets $1 million. So that's what they're trying this year, and it's tomorrow night, and I hope it's a good show. Like, and they brought back the draft this year. That's tonight. I'm assuming there will be no plastic red cups. I think they're a little worried about what could happen with those, but... I do.
Is it the cup itself, or is it the what's in the cup?
It's what's in the cup, I think, is the issue. Yes. Yeah. In Columbus,
could affect people's decision making.
Columbus, they were worried. They did it in Columbus a few years ago, and the players were a little over refreshed. While I loved it, the NHL told me later that they thought it was really close to the line. So they're very, very careful about that.
Philip Forsberg, I believe, Elliot, was the last guy picked in that.
Nugent-Hopkins, I believe, were the two last guys, yes.
So, Phil, it's interesting. Philip gets back to the All-Star game for the first time since then. Hopefully, his stock has risen a little bit. He won't be the last guy standing.
I can tell you this. That was one of the deals that they made, I believe, Willie, is that if they get to the last four, because there's four teams, they have a way of splitting up those four guys. There's no actual last pick.
Just these egos. I mean, they're an All-Star and everything, but... You don't want to be that guy, right?
They're not like us who were the last picks. Like, they're not like us in gym class who were the last picks.
All right, I guess I'll take Caroline.
Hey!
Whoa! Whoa! That's the last. Whoa!
Whoa! Whoa! Really? Whoa!
All right, Caroline, you're on our team. Come on.
Caroline. I was on the monkey bars in the slide. I'm not playing dodgeball at recess. No thanks. Absolutely not. Elliot Friedman. Elliot, enjoy All-Star Weekend. I know it's going to be a blast this weekend up there in Toronto. Appreciate you for stopping by, and we'll chat next week.
All right, guys. Take care. Have a great weekend.
I appreciate it. You too. Elliot Friedman, he is the very best. We'll react to what Elliot had to say there coming up next. Plus, all of the NFL coaching vacancies have officially been filled. I thought it was going to be a much crazier coaching carousel than it really was, but all 8 vacancies now filled, none of which by Mike Vrabel. What comes next for Mike Vrabel? We'll get into that. We'll get into your phones. Everything's on the table, whether it's the hiring of Denard Wilson, the Titans' new defensive coordinator, the NFL coaching carousel, and, of course, everything that we touched on with Elliott and the Predators at the trade deadline. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace. We're brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet.